Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. It's a beautiful fall day here in North Texas. I'm just sitting out here, and it's probably 60 degrees or so. I'm on my front porch. This week, I'm not going to walk back and forth on my front porch because last week it sounded like I was riding a horse. I want to thank you for taking a few minutes to listen today. You're going to be glad you did, especially if you're seeking after God with all your heart, because the one thing God wants, he doesn't want anything else from us except our whole heart. He wants our whole heart all the time. And so that's what this show is all about. This show is all about people that deal with real life issues every single day and that are seeking after God with their whole heart. They're done with performance-based religion. They're fed up with what, you know, the elementary level church has to offer as far as their version of what real Christianity is. And they're longing for something more. And I'm thinking of Abraham leaving this heathen place called Ur in the Chaldees. And, you know, one of the famous quotes concerning Abraham is that he was looking for the city whose builder and maker was God. And over in Hebrews chapter 11, you have the people in the hall of faith. And it says they were looking for something other than what was in the realm of the seen. They were looking to the unseen for their reward. And so grown-up Christianity is all about that. And Paul talks about that. We look to the things that are unseen and not the things that are seen. Because the things that are unseen are eternal. And if you can hear that rooster in the background, I'm sorry. But anyway, that's part of my real life. I want to just share today on some of the stuff that and how people are dealing with their daily lives and what they're going through, because this is not an easy time for a lot of people. A lot of people are struggling right now. They have kids that are out there going crazy, that they don't know where they are and what they're doing. They've got jobs that they hate going to and jobs that they wish they could go to. They got houses that they're trying to sell and houses that, you know, they're about to lose. They have debilitating sicknesses of their own, or people that they love are dealing with those same debilitating illnesses, and they're watching them every day. And so what do you do with that stuff? You know, what do you do with it? Well, I was sharing with my ministry partner yesterday that, you know, one of the things about, you know, how God operates in our life. It says in Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 and 3, that it says, he led you into the wilderness. Okay? So that takes the whole argument of, you know, there being no God that allows suffering or wants suffering or uses suffering right out of the mix. Because in Deuteronomy 8, it says that he led you into the wilderness, where the fiery scorpions and the snakes and the serpents and all of these things were. And the reason he did that, it says, is so you could know that it was God that was there with you in every situation that you went through. And, you know, theologians talk about how long that wilderness journey really would have taken. Some say around 2 to 3 weeks, and it took 40 years. And it took 40 years because that was God's proving ground for his promised land people. And so what you're going through today isn't just there by mistake. You know, you didn't do something wrong to have what you have today, no matter, you know, if you see it's you or, you know, because you can't operate independent of God. There's no way, you know, when Job was dealing with what he was going through, He has this time where he's having this dialogue with his wife. And we don't know all of it, but we know that she is telling him to curse God and die. And Job says, you know, you're speaking like those foolish women. Those foolish women that say that God is only the God of good and not the God of and everything. And so Job, in his trial, had his eyes open to the fact that God was the God of all. And we have this milquetoast lie, this different gospel that is preached by these televangelist fakes that tell us we don't have to go through any suffering. Well, you don't have to go through any suffering if you don't want to share in the glory. Because if you want to share in his sufferings, that's the only time you're going to share in his glory. If you want to be part of him filling up his sufferings in you, which it talks about in the Bible, if you want to be part of that filling up, then you have to release your life to him as it is today. I sat right here in this chair last night, ministering to a wonderful brother, friend of mine, who has been working on my house for the last several months. And he's going through some really painful things in his life right now. And he sat here and he laid out his argument. You know, he laid out his case. And it doesn't matter what our case is. Because if our life is Christ, and Paul said that when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will appear also with him in glory. That is not talking about the sweet by and by. That's not talking about a future life with God. That's talking about the life of Christ now. And so what I said to my brother was, you've got a great argument, you know? You've got a great case, but it doesn't mean anything because God wants all of it. God wants everything that is about your life, and he won't settle for anything less. And he sat here, you know, once he realized what the Spirit was saying to him, that the Spirit was saying to him, you know, I want it all. I don't want you to sit here and try to figure it out how you're going to get what you want. I want it all, and then I want to reveal to you in the middle of your pain and suffering and weakness the power of God. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to reveal to you in the middle of your, you know, months, years, whatever it is of unemployment or sickness or, you know, your estranged relationship with your children or your spouse or, you know, anybody else. You know, these hard things that we deal with in life, God wants to reveal himself right now. It's the different gospel lie that says that God is all about a deferred time. You know, if you read over in Proverbs, it says that deferred hope makes the heart sick. Deferred hope makes the heart sick, and it should make the heart sick. Because hope is looking to Christ. Faith is the faith of the Son of God. Love is God and nothing else. There is no other faith, hope, or love. These three remain, okay? Faith, hope, and love, and they're all God, every one of them. Two of them, faith and hope, have something to do with the temporal because there's something that that's still operating in our life for us to see love. That's why love is the greatest of all, because love is now. Love is God now, right here, loving you in your unloveliness. Loving you in that place where you think God can't love you because you haven't done this, that, or the other thing that the church has said you need to do. You haven't spent enough time with God. You haven't spent enough time in the Bible. You haven't gone to church enough. You haven't given enough. You haven't done this, that, or the other thing, or you've done too much of the other, this, that, and the other thing. And no matter where you are in that equation, you end up the loser. Until you come to the place where Paul came to in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Because over in 7, 24, and 25, Paul is crying out to God, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" Then he has a revelation. He cries out to God, and God answers him in the middle of his pain and suffering. Of course he answers us in the middle of our pain and suffering. That's why the pain and suffering is there. So it will cause us to tune in to his voice. It's still a small voice that's always speaking. It's just that we're not always in tune with it. So in Deuteronomy 8, God is taking these people into the wilderness, and the first thing he introduces to them is pain and suffering in the wilderness. And then he tells them why. And he says, to feed you manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. That you might know that that man does not live by the natural seen things of life. Look around, folks. You're in the freaking wilderness. There's no food. There's no water. And this is an illusion. If you're seeing only me, this is an illusion. Man doesn't live by the illusion of the seen. He lives by the reality of the unseen. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is coming out of you right now. Because he is living in you and as you. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in us is the hope of glory. You can have Christ around you, and you can have Christ with you, and for you, and by you. You can have Christ in all of those places, but there's no intimacy until you see Christ in you as your hope of glory, only hope of life. This is grown-up Christianity. This is where you look at your job and you say, okay, it's not what I want. Nevertheless, not my will. This is not my cup, Lord. This is not my cup of tea. Isn't that funny? Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. Just thought of that. We call it a cup of tea. This isn't my cup of tea. Well, that wasn't his cup of tea when he was looking at it through the natural eyes of a man. But when he saw, as God, what that was going to do for humanity, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You realize right now that in your mundane, everyday, routine life, that God is preparing something bigger than what you could ever ask or even imagine, if you'll just let him do it, if you'll just yield your life to him, if you'll just release what you're holding on to and know that he has a rest for you, there's a rest for the people of God, and allow you to receive that and just receive it today, that where you're at is the ministry, where you're at is the place that you've asked God to take you. It may not look like it, but we don't live by what we see. We live by the faith of the Son of God. And this morning, I was thinking of the church and all of the rebuking that they do. All the wasting of their breath that they do, rebuking, rebuking, and rebuking. And I did it for a long time until I realized that Satan, in comparison to God, is less than a flea on the butt of an elephant when you're looking at the power of God and the power of darkness. There is no power of darkness for the mature believer who sees only God in all things. And the reason there is no power of darkness for that believer is because he sees God only in all things. That's the reason why. And so I was thinking this morning, you know, with all the rebuking that's going on, when did Jesus rebuke anybody? When did Jesus ever rebuke anybody? The only rebuke I ever remember is when Peter came along and said, Lord, never. You're never going to the cross. And Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, isn't that funny? The only time Jesus ever rebuked a man was when they were talking about going bypassing the cross. What would be his word to the American church today that has walked all over the new covenant, counted as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant, trampled underfoot the Son of God, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Hebrews 10, 28 and 29, if you want to look it up. What would be his word to the church today that instead of the cross, they operate out of programs and they operate out of planning and measuring, which it says over in Proverbs that weights and measures of any kind are detestable to God. You know why they're detestable to God? You know why measuring your days and measuring your bank account and weighing what you have against what you don't have is detestable to God? Because you're not seeing only God in all things when you're doing that. You're distracted. You're looking at the wind and the waves coming up on you and brushing up against your feet. And that's the only thing that's going to cause you to sink. Is when you take your eyes off of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, you cannot put your eyes on Jesus Christ in your own power. All you can do is yield to the Spirit of God, and he is the one that takes your eyes and puts them on Jesus Christ. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. So the only time that Jesus ever rebuked anybody was when it had to do with bypassing the cross. Think about that. And then look at the American church, the embarrassment. David called himself the Song of the Drunkards when he was running from Saul. You know, when he acted like he was insane and spit all over himself and, you know, did whatever he could to save himself. You know? And what's the difference between David as the Song of the Drunkards and the American church today, which is the same thing? It's the Song of the Drunkards. It's when the drunks are sitting in the bars and they're talking about the evangelists on TV, because I used to be one of them. And the clowns that they look like. When TVN used to roll out their set and it had this fake-looking opulence about it. I mean, this fake-looking royalty about it. And they sat in these kings and queens chairs. I mean, it was just sickening. And they're the Song of the Drunkards, and they think they're real spirit life. They think they're real mature Christianity because they're raising money, building something. And God says, you build it, I'll blow it away. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. And there's a lot of vain laboring going on right now in the American church. And then I was thinking, okay, if that's when Jesus rebuked him, then according to the church, when he should have been rebuking him, why didn't he? And I thought of an instance there. And the one that I thought of was when Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate. So Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate says, don't you know I have the power to set you free or to crucify you? And right there, according to American, immature, elementary, milquetoast, milk-drinking, baby Christianity today, Jesus should have rebuked Pilate. Right there. I rebuke you, Pilate, because I'm not going to the cross. That's what he should have did, because that's what Christians are doing all over the world today. I rebuke you because I'm not going to suffer. I rebuke you because I refuse to lose anything. I rebuke you because I'm going to hold on to my life, and I'm also going to hold on to this thing I called my Christian life. And Jesus looked at Pilate, and he acknowledged him. He acknowledged him. He said, you're right. You've got power. So don't you know I have the power to crucify you or to set you free? And he says, you're right. You've got power. But I don't see any power except for the power of God. Because you're a part of his plan. Me going to the cross is a part of his plan. You think it's your plan, or you think it's Rome's plan, or you think it's the Sanhedrin's plan, or you think it's Judas Iscariot's plan, or whoever's plan you think it is, but it's my Father's plan. Because if I don't die as that first seed, the others can't spring forth out of me. They can't walk in newness of life if I'm not put to death. So he didn't rebuke Pilate. He didn't rebuke him at all. And that's the twisted way that people are living today. And so you look at your trial and you walk into your church on Sunday and you see all these people in their Sunday best driving up in their new cars and having their you know, their everything, and you're calling that successful Christian living. Joel Osteen would call that a successful Christian life, because he wants nothing to do with the cross. Joyce Meyer wants nothing to do with the cross. The other clowns that call themselves leaders want nothing to do with the cross. And Paul said, you're enemies of the cross, you're enemies of Christ. And not only that, but you're my enemies too. So what you're going through today, whatever it is, right now, is God ordained for a bigger plan and purpose than you could ever imagine. So instead of resisting it, and I'm talking to me too, because I'm going through the same thing. I'm going through the exact same thing as what I'm asking and as what I'm talking to you about. So this is the Spirit talking to us. Because this show is not canned or planned. There's not any, you know, there's not any, there's not anything that goes into this show. When the show goes live, this is the Spirit of God speaking through me to us, to you, to me, to anyone who cares to listen, to any whosoever. And there aren't many people that listen to this show. I know that. But for the ones that are today, this is for you. This is where God had you today. You're listening to this. Jesus rebuked Peter for keeping him from the cross. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is quickening our mortal bodies and causing us to be alive together with him. Just to proclaim the same rebuke to anybody who says the cross is not necessary. And on the other hand, Pilate, who was the instrument of his death. What's your Pilate today? Is it that lost job or that sickness? What is it that God is using to roll in death on your life and you're calling it something other than what it is? See it as what God sees it. The instrument of taking you into the ground to plant you so you fall apart. And what springs up out of you is so much more than you that you could ever imagine. That's what God is doing through your trial, through your tribulation. And he's taking you into the day. He's taking you into the day, the manna that they didn't know. Nor did their fathers know. It's the same manna you haven't known, nor have your spiritual fathers known. And that manna is the one day at a time life in Jesus Christ that the trial takes us to. It causes us to come into the day, because we can't make it past anything but the day. And then only when you're in the day can God take you into the now. Only when you're in the day can God take you into the now. You cannot go from where you're at, thinking of a life in the past and neglecting today, and go from there to now. God has to do it systematically. Systematically removing the things that are the center of your life and showing you Christ as the only center of your life. And he fed you with manna, which you didn't know, nor did your fathers know. The manna is Jesus Christ. He is the bread that comes from heaven. He is the spiritual food and drink. Except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. There it is again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That intimacy comes from loss. That intimacy comes through suffering and brokenness. Maturity comes by way of suffering and brokenness. You're never going to see a baby come into being a toddler and a child and a teenager without stumbling and falling and hurting himself all the time, all the way there. It's not going to happen. You can't grow up without pain. It's an impossibility to grow up without pain. You can't even come into this world without pain. And so what you're in today is God ordained from the foundation of the world. Because this is your ministry. This is your real life ministry. This is not bought and paid for ministry. This is you laying down your life and letting him live his life in and through you as you today, in your weakness, in your misery, in your sorrow, in your loss, in your suffering, just like my brother sitting here last night on my porch. This is you embracing the cross and rebuking anything that gets in the way of the cross. This is you acknowledging the power that you're in, the power that's coming to you right now, and whatever it is God is using to roll in death on your life is the power of God, and it's only the power of God. And me too, right there with you. This is real Christianity for real people who want a real relationship with a real God. This is real life. This is real life with Rich in Christ. I'm giving a book away. It's a 31-day deeper life devotional. It's all about this stuff right here I'm talking about. If you private message me on NOVEK, I'll send you a free book. It will come to your door and it won't cost you anything. And there'll be no strings attached. There'll be nobody coming after you and begging for money. We give everything freely as we received it. We listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:18 that we are giving away a free gospel. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for the people that are listening today, asking that you open their ears, Lord, unstop their ears and open their blind eyes and let them see, God, that there's only one Christianity and there's only one person who can live the Christian life, and that is Jesus Christ in and through us and as us today, in our weakness and in our inability. That apart from him, we can do nothing, John 15:5. And show them, God, that there's a lamp to their feet for the next step, and that's all they need. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, this is Real Life with Rich in Christ. Thank you for joining me. I'll be here again next Wednesday. God bless.